Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Out of the Blocks with Sheena Marie. My co-host Ashley is a little bit under the weather today, so she actually won't be able to join us, but I was able to get Southern Sports Central's Richie Altman on for a little bit to kind of be my wingman. He'll be joining us in just a little bit here. I wanted to start out discussing tonight's NFL game between the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers. I don't think anyone was expecting this conversation to include the possibility of the Chicago Bears actually holding their own with the Green Bay Packers. But I, for one, think they actually have a really good chance of winning this game for a couple of different factors. For starters, it's the NFL. You never know who's going to show up. You never know what you're going to get. So, of course, any game, it's anybody's game, any time that you suit up. So one of the things that I did want to discuss when it comes to this year's Chicago Bears is running back Tariq Cohen. I actually had the pleasure of meeting him at the Combine out in Indianapolis back in March. He's one of the hometown guys from North Carolina A&T, as I'm from High Point. He went to school right there in A&T at Greensboro. Very dynamic back. Game-winning touchdown last week, explosive speed, and I think he could actually be the X factor in today's game.
Come true, girl, you know that you got it. 10 out of 10, yeah, certified body. Shooting shots, yeah, guns spun rapid. What you expect, you a certified body.
I gotta make a move, trying to get close to you. Done with the hesitating, and I'm running out of patience. So I gotta make a move, so I can get close to you. Up in that zone, I'm fading. Baby, don't keep me waiting. Baby, come true, girl, you know that you got it. 10 out of 10, yeah, certified body. Shooting shots, yeah, guns spun rapid. What you expect, you a certified body. Can't front, you know that I won't lie. Got a vibe, yeah, shorty got a vibe. Time to make a move, cause I'm running out of time. Trying to play cool, but been green for a while, man. You been a body, this ain't no new shit. To you, the truth, and they ain't even gotta prove it. Niggas sweating you, trying to be exclusive. Blowing up your phone, but all he sees is blue sticks. No reply, but they still get the message, though. Keep it real, off rip, gotta let them know. Are you the one? Time will tell. But I keep telling myself, I gotta make a move. Trying to get close to you. Done with the hesitating, and I'm running out of patience. So I gotta make a move, so I can get close to you.
Hey, welcome everybody to Out of the Blocks here with Sheena Quick. I'm Richie Altman here live on the air with you for the next hour here. We'll talk to you a little bit about everything here, but let's turn it over now to your host, Sheena Quick.
Sorry about that, guys. Had a little bit of technical difficulties. We were trying to discuss the Chicago Bears and Packers matchup for tonight, but Verizon had other plans. So back to what we were discussing. When you look at the Packers and just traditionally how the Bears have performed historically, you don't think that they could actually be like a viable opponent for the Packers, but that's actually not the case this year. Well, where the Packers are ranking in run defense is actually the strength of the Chicago Bears. So I definitely expect them to use rookie Tariq Cohen, who I mentioned earlier in the show today, and Jordan Howard. I want to say this is his second year out there in Chicago. I definitely expect them to attack that Green Bay defense and make Aaron Rodgers throw a Hail Mary or two to beat them. What do you think, Richie?
You know, I agree with you. I think you have to look at it. And I'm a Packer guy, so I'm going to be, a little, reluctant to think that our defense is definitely going to be quickly attacked. We'll see what they can do. But, you know, I thought last week even the Packers took a step forward offensively. And I think, honestly, if Aaron Rodgers is going to control a lot of the tempo tonight. If he gets in stride early and he's able to hit the targets that he needs to hit, I think Green Bay, and it is in Green Bay, if I'm not mistaken, tonight, on Lambeau Field, it's going to be, and it should be, a game that you should see a growth within the system here. But again, the defense has been suspect already early, so we'll see what they do. And again, they're going to go after the corners early and often, and I'm pretty sure the defensive coordinators at Green Bay expect the same.
Well, you know what I've noticed? I feel like defense has been weak across the league so far.
Well, you're right. I think what you're seeing, though, and I've mentioned this on multiple shows, is that what they have done is they are taking away the defensive side where it comes into the cornerbacks. I mean, cornerbacks used to be able to do the old bump and run. You can't even bump these guys now. Receivers are protected so much in the league now that it's almost a game of flag football on the corners. And if these guys don't even quickly turn around to find the ball, they're going to get popped with a penalty. And if they put their hands on them almost at any cost now, the secondary is quickly being targeted by these referees each and every Sunday and into the Thursday evenings.
I would agree with you. Just in what I noticed in the Panthers and Saints game last week, you literally could drive a Mack truck through that Panthers D-line. And it was kind of shocking to me because I had said in my preseason analysis, you know, everyone was talking about all these offensive weapons that Cam was going to have and Curtis Samuel and Christian McCaffrey. But I felt like it was going to take that offensive unit some time to gel, mainly because Cam was pretty much out for all of the preseason. He only threw two passes in a preseason game. He was held to a pitch count for just about all of training camp. He's in very limited in practice now, barely throwing in practice now. They want to preserve him as much as possible. Curtis Samuel also was out all of training camp after the first practice, so they haven't really gotten a lot of time to gel together on the field. So I expected that defense to carry them through the first half of this season while the offense kind of figured out how they fit together, how to put those pieces together. But the defense kind of imploded last week.
Yeah, I think you're seeing a lot of defenses, though, Sheena. And again, if you watch the tapes of a lot of teams over the weekend, you know, I'm not going to say it's as bad as if you look in the college at the Big 12 and how just it's a non-existent part of the game for the Big 12 these days, minus a few teams like West Virginia might show up with a defense or two. But you're noticing that, and I do. I ask you this question because you're a lot deeper into the NFL roots than I am. I'm more of a college guy. But is it that factor that you can kind of see where these referees are really targeting these cornerbacks? And, you know, is it part of the safety rule? I mean, is it the whole part of a vulnerable receiver? And these guys are just, quite frankly, scared to put their hands on them.
Actually, no, I don't think it's the refs. I think it's the coverages that are being put in. I don't think they're afraid to put their hands on them. I think that they're playing off the ball a lot. They're playing a lot of zone when it does not match. I think that if they did bring back the bump and run and the man-to-man coverage, we would see a lot more competitive games. I know that, you know, back in the day when NC State had that really, really formidable defense under Chuck Amato, they were pretty much known. They had the number one defense in the nation because they did run that bump and run. They did run that tight man coverage. They really – their cornerbacks were out there on an island. They were exposed and they had to step up, and most of the time they did. So when you have – the pass game on lock like that, and you can lock down the running game as well, you'll have a closer game. You know, I saw things get out of hand really, really quickly in Carolina, and it was really kind of painful to watch. But honestly, the defense in New England is what's going to make this game between the Panthers. I know we just seamlessly went from the Chicago Bears to Sunday's matchup between the Panthers and the Patriots, which I expect to be a lot closer than a lot of people think. But I know we're coming up on a break. Oh, sorry. I know we're probably coming up on a break now after having that technical difficulty. So we'll break with a song and maybe some Cardi B. You know, she's number one on the Billboard charts this week. The first female rapper to do so without a feature since, you know, Lauryn Hill, and that was like almost 20 years ago. But we're going to break for a second and then come back and get into that Panthers and Patriots game this Sunday. And we're back. Richie and I were just getting into the Panthers and Patriots matchup on Sunday, and I was saying that it's going to be a lot closer. I expect it to be closer than what we would imagine between beyond, you know, a struggling Panthers team and the Patriots, who just always have Tom Brady, so they always have a chance.
Right. Well, you know, my thing is, my question is, how good is this defense for Charlotte over there with the Panthers? Because if you saw this defense that, of course, they played this past weekend out of Houston, the Texans, I mean, let's be honest, they've got a massive amount of playmakers on the Texans side. And I don't know, do you think that the Panthers have more talent on the defense than what you just saw, what Tom Brady and the crew just saw over there last Sunday?
I think it's possible. It just depends on who shows up. Depends on the coverage that they're in. I expect to see a lot of cover too. But I've noticed that they play so safe and they give up the 8-9 yard, you know, short receptions. But of course, it only takes so many of those to get down the field, and that's literally what the Saints did last year. The Saints literally marched down the field to their own beat. The Panthers were there, but they weren't there. They did whatever they wanted to do.
Right.
It didn't help that Cam was a little rusty, and, you know, he threw a couple of picks. You know, he admitted that himself. He said, you know, he put the defense in a very precarious position, numerous times throughout that game. But with that defensive unit, I expected the game to be a little bit closer than what it was.
No, I agree with you. I thought that it would be – we'll see how it is. But again, Cam Newton's missed a lot. Of course, he missed all of preseason. He comes in and he's still kind of getting back into his groove. And, you know, quarterbacks and pitchers have something in common, and that's a rhythm. These guys have been in a rhythm. They've got to get familiar. And again, I understand that people say, well, he's been in the league before, but every year, you know, it's like resetting the button, restarting your opportunity. You're right. And that's what Cam we're seeing. And let's not forget, guys, Cam Newton has been a target on many occasions that never got the flag called upon him. I get it once you leave the pocket. If I'm Cam Newton, listen, I'm going to learn from what maybe I could have done a little different last year, and I'm going to try to do it this year. So you wonder how much of that in his mind, because he wants to play this game for a long time, and he can't afford to have another season like he did in 2016 and expect to play in this league for a long time. He just can't. His body won't let him.
I agree with that, and I know that the sentiment that's echoed is that he's pretty much – he's limited in practice for preservation, not because he's still hurt. It's because of preservation. And they definitely have some concerns for Cam, and I have concerns with Cam as well. Cam Newton has concerns himself, more so with – and just being the selfless player that he is, and I know a lot of people – don't associate Cam Newton with being selfless just because he's such a dynamic figure, but you can be selfless and still enjoy the game, which is what I love about him as a player.
Right.
He wants the fans to enjoy the game. He knows what they need. He said that, you know, he said, should you be frustrated as a fan? Absolutely. You absolutely should be frustrated because I can play better and this team can play better. So I think we'll see better. I'm not going to say effort because I feel like his effort is there. It's just getting the reps and shaking the rust off. Nothing is like being in an actual – and I'm talking like I took the field as an NFL player. But just being an athlete, period, nothing can really – no simulation can prepare you for an in-game experience and just taking the snaps in the game. And I think the more snaps Cam takes, the better he will be.
I agree with that 100%. I think you look at Cam Newton, he's no different than any other athlete out there that takes time – to get back out there. Any other athlete that comes out, I don't care who you are, the thing that I think helps Cam Newton is that he is a healthy athlete. He's a guy that was in great shape the entire season, minus his opportunities of going down because of these late hits. And I don't care what anybody says. I'm not the Panther guy. I'm more of a Green Bay Packer guy. So I'm going to speak on behalf of a guy who didn't care much for him in college because he played against my Gamecocks. He was an Auburn Tiger. And I couldn't wait to see him leave. Oh, boy, I couldn't wait to see him leave. But this is a guy, and I tell family and my friends here in South Carolina, if you don't like him being Superman, then don't let him be Superman. Don't let him score. But that doesn't mean wait until after the play and get a cheap shot there at the end. And that's what you were seeing him last year. Here's a guy who, again, look for example, look at pitchers that come in for the college level, the high school level. Look at track stars, which is your background. you know, where you guys go out with an injury, Achilles heel or something like that, a tear somewhat in the muscles in the leg, it's going to take you a while to get back. If I'm wrong, correct me, but it takes you a little while to get back into the groove of things, right?
It definitely takes a while to get back into the groove of things. I'm sure there was some timidness. Well, luckily for Cam, it wasn't a knee, it wasn't a leg or anything like that, or ankle, because I feel like that would have taken more for him to get over, just because he is such a mobile quarterback. The throwing arm, same thing. I mean, he's a quarterback. He needs that shoulder. Definitely needs that shoulder, needs that arm. It was painful to watch him take those dirty hits. Because I remember after one game, he said that it was taking the fun out of the game for him. And I think that's just a horrible way for a player to feel.
Oh, yeah.
That they can't go out
guy.
Here and play the game because I'm just targeted. And people want to literally end my career because I'm targeted.
Right.
You know, they're no longer looking at him as a person that has to, you know, go that has a job to do and that's playing the game, that's enjoying the game. So the sportsmanship was literally out the window when it came to Cam Newton last year. And it was very tough to watch, tough to see. I didn't like when people were calling him a crybaby. I did not like that. You can't expect him to take cheap hits that are pretty much, you know, forbidden by the rule book. They're forbidden for a reason. You can't expect him to take these hits and not say anything for fear of looking like a crybaby. Like, this is his health. There's CTE. There's, you know, I have an uncle who can barely walk from his days of playing football. His knees are so mangled. So there's a life after football. And these guys, they're blessed to get paid to do what they love, but they're doing what they love because they love the game. When they were five, they weren't getting paid. When they were 10, 11, 12 years old, they weren't getting paid millions of dollars. They did it for the love of the sport. And to take that aspect out of it for someone because you feel like, you know, they're showmen, just keep them out of the end zone, but do it legally. Do it in a sportsmanlike way.
We're putting more emphasis on protecting the receivers than we are, than the quarterback. Then, yeah, there's a problem with that. And in my opinion, again, I may be wrong, but my thoughts and opinions are here we are protecting, honestly, the receivers than they are the quarterbacks. And, again, it's the factor, and you've heard this before, and you hear this on every sports outline period, is that when he is a dual-threat quarterback, he is a threat to go down in any way, shape, or form. And that's what's happening. These guys are hitting these guys extremely late. Cam Newton, more than any quarterback, I thought last year. Again, I'm not a Panther fan, but I am a fan of it being fair down the line and good sportsmanship. And, again, when you're knocking this guy down because of the factor that, listen, he is a huge part of the electricity of that offense over there with Charlotte and the Panthers. What they do over there in Carolina is what Cam Newton allows them to do. When Cam's on, the whole team is on. They feed off of his energy. They realize that, right?
As Cam goes, so goes the Panthers. And I think that this week going to be an opportunity for that offense to get their confidence up, because this is a struggling New England defense. So if there's going to be any time for them to get their swag back, get that confidence up, and, you know, brush off the last week's loss and move on to 3-1, it's going to be this weekend against the Patriots.
How big a win would that be for Carolina, though, to beat the Patriots, to really kind of to get things going? I mean, there's always that game, right, Sheena, that every team has. I don't care what game you're playing, what sport you're playing, should I say. But this one, wow, this would be a huge opportunity for the Carolina Panthers to really say, okay, here we are.
It would be an opportunity for a team that's struggling to find its identity after that amazing 2015 season. You know, they struggled mightily in 2016. And then, you know, 2017 has a brand new look for him. You have Greg Olsen, who I want to say hadn't even missed a game before. And now he's out, or maybe very few games if he missed any. And now he's out for the season. Well, not the season, but, I mean, a large part of the season. I'm sorry, 6 to 8 weeks. But he's out for a while, so that's one of your most reliable targets, one of your most reliable offensive weapons. And you're going to have to lean on the leaders of the new school. Jonathan Stewart has been solid for them. The offensive line is another question. You know, the Khalil brothers, Ryan Khalil is actually still out. Matt Khalil, Ryan Khalil didn't practice today either. But Matt Khalil, he's tied for giving up the third most sacks in the league. That's not a good thing. He missed most of the season last year with an injury as well. So the problems on the offensive line and the depth on that offensive line
were not solved by paying the Khalil brother or the Khalil brothers, who are very injury prone. So it goes a lot deeper than Cam missing passes. You know, you got to look at how long he has to throw the ball. You know, who's protecting him, who's protecting those running backs. And I think we'll see Christian McCaffrey in the slot a lot more. They were trying to run him up the middle. I was very pleased with the adjustment that they made last week against the Saints, and they did not try to force McCaffrey up the middle because he's just not an up-the-middle NFL back. He's shifty. He can hit the seam. He can hit the outside, you know, the reverse route, the slot receiver route. He can do those. But I don't think that he's – when you need a power back, that's when you go to Jonathan Ford. So it'll be interesting to see what type of offensive attack they put forth this week. And the success they'll have against this New England defense, I think that this is definitely going to set the tone of Carolina's season. They need a pick me up. They definitely
now, how
need
big a win was that? How big a win was that with New Orleans? You were at the game, Sheen, over there with the Panthers taking on the Saints. Saints pick up their first win of the year. Now they, of course, will travel down to play the Dolphins, I believe on on Saturday. That's a 1 o'clock game, I believe. No, it's a 9:30 game. But when you start to kind of look at this thing here, for the Saints, for them to pick up this momentum out of this, I would say, division out of the South here in the NFC, what did you get out of it, and how much did you see Sean Payton and these guys, Drew Brees, all kind of walk out with a little bit more swagger and kind of take a stance and saying, look, everybody's written us off because we were 0-2, but here we come in and win a big game on the road like this?
Well, I will say, I don't think anybody ever will write off a Saints team that's led by Drew Brees. They may struggle at times. But I don't necessarily think they were written off. I think that win was just another win. Well, not just another win for the season, but it was just another game for them. I don't think they looked at it as any more dynamic than any other, you know, if they were playing any other team.
Right.
I did notice that Adrian Peterson got the ball a lot more. So, you know, that depth stare that had the internet going nuts must have worked.
That was awesome,
definitely
by the way.
He got the ball more. He was effective. He was AP. You know, he's a little older, but, you know, he was still AP.
Right.
And as I said before, Drew Brees is still Drew Brees. And they were given a couple of gift wrapped field position possessions there with those fumbles and interceptions.
Now,
I will definitely helped along.
So there's two other games I want to hear your thoughts on, because I know you're the guru when it comes to the NFL, Sheena. So there's two games. Let's head to the AFC, and we'll come back to the NFC. The AFC, you got the Raiders, who took one off the chin to the Redskins in their first loss. Now, the Broncos, on the other hand, well, the Broncos come out with a huge statement today concerning some of that, you know, they're going to stand for the national anthem. That was released earlier today. I saw that. But now with all of that happening, again, this is a Sunday afternoon game at 4:25, the CBS kickoff. Raiders seem like they've gotten a lot of things going with Marshawn Lynch on the team. You've got a couple of other playmakers out there. They're definitely a team already people are talking about playoff bound. But the Broncos, are pretty loaded too in the running back position. They've actually got D'Angelo Henderson, the rookie, that's out of Coastal Carolina, who's also from Somerville, South Carolina, big name back who has already proven that he can be a leader, but they've got a quarterback. They've got a wide receiver. What do you like about this matchup in the AFC, and how much is this game right here going to tell us a little bit about two teams that we easily could see late into the postseason?
Again, I think it's going to come down to the defense. We just have not been seeing the defense, you know. And you have been seeing these running backs kind of run all over the place, which is kind of ironic because Zeke Elliott's the complete opposite right now. But it's going to be a tell of the defense. And we're used to Denver having a strong defensive unit. They're not as strong as they have been in recent years, but it's going to come down to defense.
Now, the other game I want to get your thoughts on is that Redskins team that did beat the Raiders. Okay, so you got the Redskins taking on a team out of the AFC and the Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs going to be hosting the Redskins 8:30. That's a late game there. I believe Monday Night Football, if I'm not mistaken, where you'll see the Redskins taking on the Chiefs. Redskins are 2-1, and they've got a ton of controversy, it seems like, every week because of Cousins there, the quarterback, and some of the ups and downs and all arounds that you see there. Their secondary, however, we talk about secondaries, but I think, honestly, you look at the Redskins, they're locked and loaded in secondaries. They should not have any issues, and I underline the word any issues in the secondary when it comes down to defense. Your thoughts on that?
They definitely have Josh Norman, so They are locked and loaded. That'll be a good game. That'll be a very good game. And it's just so I don't mean to change the subject, but you were just talking about how strong their defense is and the offensive, the questions on the offensive side of the ball. What team do you feel is in the NFL that is the most balanced on both sides of the ball? Because we're just seeing, like, a gross swing in one direction on most of the teams that we discussed today. The Patriots are probably going to put up, you know, a ton of points. They got Tom Brady, but then they're going to get a ton of points put up on them because they have a paltry defense.
Right.
So who do you think is the most balanced team in the league right now?
You look around and you want to think the Patriots are probably that conversation because anytime without doubt, I think the default team would be that, if I'm not mistaken, the Patriots. I mean, these guys seem like they're kind of carried around. But I guess if you kind of look at it, do you look at the Chiefs a little bit? I mean, this is a Chiefs team that we don't talk much about because I don't remember them having anybody since Christian Okoye. You remember he was a big-time back in the day for this Antonio Gonzalez, right. But they've always had that guy that used to be good for the 49ers, came over and quarterback for him. Remember, they went through that cycle, it seemed like, on a regular basis. But you look over there with, their quarterback play, the running back, the wide receivers are good. But defensively, I think they've got a pretty stout defense. They're not giving up as much. I mean, points allowed, they're only averaging 19 points a game. And somebody would say, well, that's not a low number. Well, look at the numbers and the scores. A lot of teams are giving up Big 12 numbers in the NFL, right?
Right.
So, to me, I would have to be kind of weary if I'm the Redskins coming in here to Arrowhead Stadium because I think Kansas City, I think they do have a very underrated, as you said, always are underrated team hanging out over there waiting for this Redskins team to come in at 3-0. I mean, you got to kind of tip your cap to the team. There aren't many teams right now kind of sitting where they are.
I'll say that Kansas City Chiefs are probably the super team. They have pretty good secondary. They have an awesome rookie running back. I would say they are the most balanced team, and they're the dark horse.
Right. Well, you look, look who they've already beaten there, Sheena. They've already beaten the team that you talked about, and that team being the Patriots. They've already beaten the Chargers.
Right.
Okay, they've already beaten the Eagles. The Eagles have Alshon Jeffries that came over from Chicago, wide receiver. They beat those guys. So those three wins, to me, those are three signature wins. I'm not sure if I'm 100% sold on the Chargers right now because I don't know much about what's happening on that side of the country as far as the Chargers are concerned. But I can tell you one thing. A lot of money was spent in the offseason. If I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan, I'm not real happy with what you brought in. It isn't seeming to work, has it? I mean, you tell me your thoughts, but – those are two teams out of course, the New England Patriots and the Eagles, that I would say that normally, offensively, they put up a ton of points, and they did not do a lot of that or enough of that when they got to see the likes of, well, the Chiefs.
Well, let's do this. Let's give the people a break from our voices and let them listen to Rihanna. And we're going to break for a second and come back, and I am going to give you my thoughts on the money that the Eagles have spent, which – seems to be something that they have done quite often in the last couple of years. We'll get into that as soon as we come back from break.
Another one. Another one. We the best music. DJ Khaled.
I don't know if you could take it. No, you want to see me naked, naked, naked. I want to be a baby, baby, baby. Spinning in his wedges like he came from Maytag. Rocker with it on the brown. When I get like this, I can't be around you. I'm too little to dim down tonight. Cause I can name some things that I'm gon' do. Wow, wow, wow. Wow, 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 thoughts. Wow, wow, wow. When I'm with you, all I get is wild thoughts. Wow, wow, wow. When I'm with you, all I get is wild thoughts. For the tag, you know this cookie's for the bag. Kitty, kitty, baby, get her things to rest. Cause you done beat it like the 68 Jets. Diamonds are nothing when I'm rocking with ya. Diamonds are nothing when I'm shining with ya. Just keep it white and black as if I'm your sister. I'm too hip to hop around, time to hit with ya. I know I get wow, wow, wow. Wow, 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 wow. When I was you, all I
for the taking. I heard it got these other niggas going crazy. Yeah, I treat you like a lady, lady. Fuck you till you burned out, cremation. Make it cream, yeah, Wu-Tang. Throw that ass back, bouquet. Call me and I could get it, you say. I could tell you gone off the doors.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Careful, mama, why what you say?
You say.
You talking to me like your new bae.
New bae.
You talking like you trying to do things. Now that pipe got her running like she Usain, baby. You made me drown in it, ooh, touche, baby. I'm carrying that water, Bobby Boucher, baby. And you know I'ma slaughter like I'm Jason. Busted, why you got it on safety? White girl wears shit on brown. I probably shouldn't be around you. You get wild, wild, wild. You looking like it's nothing that you won't do.
What you won't do.
Hey girl, that's when I told you.
Told you.
When I was you, all I get is wild thoughts. Wild, wild, wild. Wild, wild, wild.
And we are back. You guys are listening to Out of the Blocks. I'm Sheena Marie, and I'm joined by Southern Support Central's Richie Altman. My normal co-host, Ashley, is a little under the weather tonight, so Richie decided to come hang out with me and hold it down for her. Before we went to the break, Richie talked about the money that was spent in Philadelphia and how he was disappointed. Did you want to finish with that statement, Richie, before I give you my 2 cents?
Well, I will say this, and we do have a listener out there, and he wants to throw in the Falcons, by the way. Joe Call, the head football coach over at Somerville, is tuning in and listening in. He's also a big Packer guy as well. But he said, if you look at it across the board, balance, and he throws in, and the kicker. So evidently the Falcons must have a pretty good kicker.
Well,
I don't
important.
Know. Cause I don't,
that is important.
Yeah, that's we've watched the Gamecocks said South Carolina lose some by a field goal. We've watched other kickers. Matter of fact, look at the Green Bay Packers. Hey, there's a team that won at the end of regulation in the fourth quarter with a field goal kick there. So, the Falcons are the Falcons an underrated team? I mean, this is a team that every year, you know, they seem to be right on the cuff there and getting to their hurdle. And some say, well, Rich, they made it to the Super Bowl. Yeah, but getting to the Super Bowl, the Buffalo Bills went to the Super Bowl a lot too. They couldn't get over that hurdle until finally later in, like the seventh time of making it in. But when you start to look at it, I mean, you look at what they're ran by, of course, I think that quarterback over there with the Falcons is really good. I think Joe brings up a great point that you look at it, and then kickers have to be clutch because you can get all you want inside the red zone, but you're going against the best of the best in the NFL. Sometimes you can't punch it in the end zone, and then, boom, this kicker comes in, and Ryan Succop. Matter of fact, I think – I'm not sure if Ryan's still sitting there kicking the ball for Kansas City or not, but he was a kicker for the Chiefs for a long time and won many a games on that foot.
Well, I will. You know what? I can see that. And while we were at break, I talked to you a little bit about the NFC South and how they were struggling, and the Falcons are literally the only bright spot in the NFC South right now. I told you how three of the four quarterbacks struggled last Sunday. But I would say you can throw the Falcons in there. I think that the Falcons tend to – they're always falconing. And I say that because last year was the year. 28-3.
Right.
I had all but – I mean, I was hosting a Super Bowl party, and my friend April was the only New England Patriot fan in the house. Like, she was just sitting in the house, just sitting in the kitchen moping. Everybody else – we had such a good time. We had just pretty much written the game off. We were in the garage playing pool, and I was just being nice. I was like, oh, well, you know, the game isn't over. Little did I know that Tom Brady and them really were going to come back, and the game really was not over.
Oh, yeah.
So
you know
I would say, you know, what's that?
You know where I was watching the game? I was watching it in the laundromat.
Oh, wow. I bet those conversations were crazy. Richie, are you there? Oh, we lost him. Oh, is he coming back in? But, yeah, I'm sure those conversations were nuts. Richie, do we have you on?
Yeah.
Sheena, you there?
I'm here.
Hey, well, this is Joe Call. I was calling in.
Oh, hey, we lost Richie for a second. I'm sure he'll be back with us in just a little bit. But what's your take on the balance of these NFL teams?
He gets lost every once in a while.
Yeah, I try to lead him back to the promised land. It's not always so easy.
Yeah. All right. Well, so I'm driving home, listening to your conversation here, talking about the NFL being balanced and, you know, which teams to balance. And, you know, I heard him say, because I texted him, I was like, about the Falcons, you know, and I had to throw that out there with the Falcons because, you know, the Packers just can't seem to beat the Falcons lately. So, and I'm a Packers fan too. But, yeah, I just had to throw that, you know, he's like, you know, y'all were talking about them, but they were close to winning it.
They were very close. And, you know, like I said, the Falcons, they had it within reach, and then the Falcons started falconing. You know, I think Atlanta teams, you know, I've always said that. My friends are like, what's falconing? I'm like, failing when it matters the most.
Failing.
I would really, yeah. And I would like to see that, I would like to see somebody emerge from the NFC South and be actually victorious this year. I mean, they can't really catch a break. The Panthers went the year before and lost, and then Atlanta this past year. But I think the Falcons are a very balanced team across the board. And you know, as we said earlier, the Chiefs are a very balanced team.
Oh,
they
really
don't get the credit that they deserve. No one ever talks about the Chiefs when it comes to championship talks or Super Bowl talks.
Yeah,
they're never in the conversation. They're just kind of overlooked.
I just, you know, I don't know. I just don't think anybody, they don't believe. And I don't know if it's, you know, Alex Smith at quarterback or, you know, I don't know. But you're right. They do. They just keep showing up. They keep winning ball games. And, you know, they got their, you know, they're just playmakers like crazy. So, you know, they got the defense to go with it. You know, I was able to, you know, through a connection with A.J. Green, meet Houston, you know, playing, you know, outside linebacker for him. You know, I mean, they had the playmakers. So, you know, they're the team nobody ever talks about, you know, with Andy Reid, you know, I think coming from Philadelphia, you know, that team that almost was all the time. You know, maybe people don't believe in him.
They're always,
you know, but,
right, they're always right on the cusp, but never quite making it.
Yeah, you're right. And, I don't know. I just, you know, I was in Atlanta last year watching the Falcons beat up on the Packers, and you know, I just kind of feel like, man, they were so close, you know. And I'm with you. You know, I'd love to see an NFC South team just kind of step it up and move forward. But I mean, you're right about the Chiefs. That's that team that it just seemed balanced, and you know, could make it happen.
They really do. So, look, it'll be interesting to watch and see if they can finally overcome. I think the Raiders also are a decent team across the board. More than decent. You know, I remember my first my first SUV, I had Raiders mud flaps, and I was so mad because I couldn't get them off. I was like, oh, my God, they're horrible. And then Derek Carr comes and saves the day only to get hurt, which was really sad for him last season. That was a breakout year for them also. And no telling how the season could have ended for them had he been healthy.
I'm by far not a Raiders fan, but I was, you know, with their story of how they, like, struggled, and then all of a sudden they have, like, a great year. God, I mean, I was pulling
for
him. You know, then he got hurt. It was devastating. It was like that year that Carson Palmer got hurt for the Bengals, you know, like in the first round playoff game. You remember that? Like, you know, he tore his, like, knee up. It's like they were finally good.
That was this year.
It was like, finally, then, oh, no, and then they get hurt. So, you know, Raiders are that team, you know. I know they lost to the Redskins, but, I mean, I think they got it going on, too. So, I enjoy the NFL. You know, I don't get a chance to watch much of it because, you know, we work a lot during the weekend. But, go ahead.
One of the teams that, I mean, speaking of team curses, we're talking about how the Raiders were finally good and then, you know, Derek Carr goes down. Cincinnati's finally good. Andy Dalton. I'm sorry. Did I say Andy Dalton?
Yeah, then Andy Dalton went there. Like, they, these teams struggle to have that one gem of a season, and then it just implodes. Now, Cleveland can't even struggle, can't even get to the point where they have a good season and then something happens. Like, something happens before they even take the field.
Yeah, that's true.
It's that team just cannot – is it cursed?
You know, they must be. I heard somebody say the other day, said what Cleveland needs to do is just pack their stuff in the mistake by the lake and, you know, move again because – Yeah, the Ravens, like, as soon as they move, the Ravens, like, you know, they get Ray Lewis, and then they, you know, start winning Super Bowls, and, you know, it's like, ah, you got, you feel for them, yeah, with Cleveland, because, I mean, you know, they, like, you know, I don't know if it's in drafting or whatever, but, you know, sometimes they get a draft pick right, but they seem like they're one of those teams, every time they get, like, a player now, it's like, that's the guy that becomes a free agent, you know, that transfers and helps another
good team
become great, you know, so.
Exactly.
I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with Myles Garrett. You know, with them having that number one pick, I felt like they did make the correct pick in picking Myles Garrett. A lot of people were expecting them to take a quarterback, and I just didn't think that was smart for them. He's just that type of athlete. Like, I watched him. I saw him perform at the combine. I you know, heard his interviews and things like that. That wasn't a pick that they could pass up on. I think that it worked out well for them. I do think that they did underestimate their need at quarterback in drafting DeShone Kizer and expecting him to come in as a rookie and lead that type of program, that type of franchise. I feel like that was too much on the shoulders of that type of rookie. He was coming off of a not so great season at Notre Dame, and to have to have, you know, I'm not going to say there's a lot of pressure. There's not even any pressure in Cleveland anymore. That's how much people have, like, lost the faith. There's not even any pressure, but there's an expectation.
That's right. We're going to be better.
And, you know, I think that was a lot to put on him. I don't think that he's a bad quarterback. I just don't think he was ready to start in the NFL, and he was put in a position where he had to start.
You're right. And, I mean, you're exactly right. And, you know, this – again, this is my personal opinion. You know, I think if you're going to, you know, start like the NFL, you start drafting and building a team, you know, you start with those really, I mean, I'm not saying that the quarterback position is not important. I know it's, like, ultimately important, but if you start, like, improving, you know, your defense, your pass rushers, you know, who can rush the passer? You know, you start improving the offensive line. You know, those guys that are never going to make the news, those guys are the headlines, you know, you start improving that. Now all of a sudden you look at your front seven on defense is like impossible to block. You know, you look at an offensive line who prevents sacks. You know, your quarterback's not getting sacked. Now you throw in, all right, maybe we get a top level quarterback to go in with, you know, cause skill guys in the NFL, I mean, you're going to get a lot of good skill guys, but you start like getting those pass rushers, you start getting that defensive line who can stop the run. You start getting that offensive line who can, you know, take control of the line of scrimmage. You know, that's what's going to end up, you know, that's my opinion. But I think in the NFL, you get those kind of things shored up, then you can build. So, you know, maybe the Cleveland Browns, you know, they by far with Joe Thomas has like the best left tackle in the history of football, I think, you know, playing 10,000 snaps, but or whatever. But, you know, like Myles Garrett, you know, get a guy who can rush the pass, you know, create a little havoc in the backfield and, you know, get some linebackers who can tackle and, you know, those kind of guys who can make plays up there at that front seven. You know, then let's throw in the quarterback who's an elite guy, you know, kind of stuff. So,
you basically just described the Dallas Cowboys last year.
Hi.
You really did. I mean, of course, Zeke Elliott is phenomenal. Dak Prescott is phenomenal. But that offensive line, a lot of people argued that, you know, any running back could have done the Zeke Elliott numbers behind that offensive line. You know, that's to be determined. That's an arguable point. But they were dynamic in the positions. Yeah, they were phenomenal in the positions that do not get headlines.
that you do not see on the stat sheet. That doesn't – they don't. You don't see how many people were blocked on the stat sheet. Those are the guys that make or break those wins and losses. And what you described is absolutely accurate. That should be the recipe for any team. And that's the recipe that Dallas was cooking up last year, and nobody could answer except, of course, Aaron Rodgers. But I'm a Dallas fan. I'm a Dallas fan, so that actually broke my heart. It really did.
Hey, they hit a field goal. They hit a field goal. The kicker. That's what I said, the kicker. You got to have a kicker.
You
got to
have
a guy who can hit.
A kicker.
You got to have a kicker. Got to have a kicker.
Totally
bro.
A sidebar, because I know we're discussing the NFL, but when my ex-husband, when we were in college at NC State, I will never forget when we were playing Wake Forest, and they had this kicker that was kicking from beyond 50 yards, and we just were pissed because – all they had to do was advance the ball to the 50-yard line. They were getting 3 points. I mean, it was nuts. That's just how, I was just like, where is this guy coming from? But, you know, kicker, it's those positions that are often forgotten about. That's what makes the football team. Everybody,
that's
you know,
right.
centers in on the quarterback or the running back. But it's those other guys that make the team. They make those – they make or break the season.
Yeah, you're right. You're, you know, one of those there's an old – football thing, I try to remember as an offensive coordinator, if every drive can end in a kick, you'll be successful. You know, whether that's a punt, you know, I mean, offensive coordinators hate to punt and they hate to kick field goals. You know, but
right.
as a head coach, if you can end every drive in a kick, you're going to win. You're going to win, so it's got to. You got to have kickers. You got to have guys who can punt, who can change the field. You know, you'd much rather have 7 points. You know, but if you can get those threes add up.
Those three.
You know, and it,
I mean, the Panthers just won 9-3 last week, or the week before last.
Yeah.
It was a boring game, but they won.
Yeah, that's
you know,
right. You know,
it's the role players.
And I love it when it. Well, not love it. I kind of actually hate it. But, you know, when a game comes down to, like, 1 point, you know, that's just, like, justification as a head coach to say, hey, every point matters. You know, if you're on the extra point team, you know, to everybody, you know, that's the time to get up and go get another beer, you know? I mean, that's a critical point in the game. You know, everybody's got to do their job. You got to block the inside gap. You know, you can't let a App State versus Michigan thing happen and knock down an extra point. The next thing you know, you lose by 1 point. You know, so,
exactly.
I mean, it happens.
And it's so different from basketball because, you know, basketball, you're up and down the court. You know, 1 point, you can make it up on the next field goal. But with football, you have to drive very far. I mean, you have to really work for those points.
Yes, it's hard to score.
It's not just, you know, you really got
to
work for those points.
Yeah, you're right. It's yeah. So I mean, it's every point. You know, sometimes there's a lot of them, sometimes there's very few of them. But you know, it's gotta have that kicker, gotta have that kicker too. The great teams have kickers.
Without an offensive line, you keep an injured quarterback, a la RG3.
Yeah.
Cam Newton last year.
Yeah.
The Panthers this year.
Yeah.
You know. I really would have liked for them to fix those holes in the offensive line. I know they tried. You know, they had injuries last year. They had Michael Orr out in protocol pretty much all season. And they did try.
Year,
they tried
yeah.
the Khalil brothers, but then the Khalil brothers weren't all that durable before they even arrived in Charlotte. So,
yeah,
I mean, you pretty much
right.
you're changing the personnel, but you have the same problem.
Yeah, you know, I heard y'all talking about the Panthers with Cam Newton earlier. I just think it's so unfair for Cam Newton because I still feel like he's labeled too much as a runner when really I mean he's a quarterback, you know he's a quarter I mean treated I mean, he, you know I mean he can't continuously be allowed to get hit and sometimes you know you feel like the referees are like well he's a runner he's in the pocket. Now when he's in the pocket taking a 7-step drop, he's not a runner. You know, quit allowing that to happen, you know, because like you said, you know, I mean, you're talking about an entire team, you know, who really functions off of one guy. you know, if he's allowed to continuously get blasted, you know, back there just because, you know, they think he's a runner, you know. I mean, that's just, you know, my opinion.
I mean, you
but.
Can't punish someone for being a versatile player, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, you're a mobile quarterback.
Yeah.
You deserve to get hurt and take dirty hits. That's absolutely not fair. And I was happy that he spoke up on it last year. Some people, you know, called
yeah.
it whiny. That's not whiny. He absolutely
yeah.
had the right to speak up about his safety when playing the sport that he loves. He shouldn't feel unsafe or feel like he.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what,
you know, I just.
What is
some, yeah, I'm sure.
What are some of the games that you'll be looking for this weekend? I know you mentioned that you don't get to catch a lot of NFL. Are there any must-see games for you this weekend?
Oh, I am so excited that it's Thursday night and my Packers are playing the Bears.
The
it's
Bears.
Thursday
it
night.
Be a really good game.
Oh yeah, you know it's great. You know I'm just you know, I'm gonna get home. You know coming, I'm gonna go watch our JV play tonight. We're playing over here close to where I live in West Ashley. I'm got my son. I'm getting ready to pick my son up. We're gonna go watch our JV play, and then we're gonna get home by 8:30 and. You know, I get to miss – I miss the Packers most of the time on Sunday. So I'm excited to be able to have a chance to watch them on Thursday night, you know, play our big rival, the Bears, tonight. So to me, this is must-see TV tonight. You know, I mean, if you're a football fan, you've got to watch the Packers and the Bears play. I mean, just because that's like – you know,
oh, I'm definitely, definitely going
to
be watching. I'll definitely have my eyes on Tariq Cohen. He's one of the hometown heroes up here. But thank you so much for calling in. I'm going to go to this Justin Bieber Despacito song to take us out. We definitely enjoyed your dialogue. And as always, please call up and feel free to give your opinion. It was awesome talking to you. Just getting another perspective, you know, another fan's perspective on the things and on the happenings on the NFL scene. And, you know, maybe you can call and give us some insight on college, too. We're on Thursdays and on Sunday mornings. From 11:30 to 1, just to lead up to the game. So feel free to call us at any time to just drop a line and just let us know what you're thinking. We always appreciate your
yeah.
calls.
Oh, absolutely. I enjoyed it. You know, Richie got out of here, just left you and I for a little conversation. I love it. I love
he
it.
Did.
So, it was great.
He did.
Great talking
I'm actually
to you.
Gonna
All right.
I'm actually going to run off and be a mom. But as always, everybody that's listening, thank you guys for joining us for Out of the Block. Right back here on Sunday at 11:30 to get ready for the NFL's hottest matchups. You guys know where to find us on Southern Sports Central. Thanks for listening.
Aye. Sabes que ya llevo un rato mirándote. Tengo que bailar contigo hoy. Vi que tu mirada ya estaba llamándome. Muéstrame el camino que yo doy. Oh, tú eres el imán y yo soy el metal. Me voy acercando y voy armando el plan. Solo con pensarlo se acelera el pulso. Ya me estás gustando más de lo normal. Todos mis sentidos van pidiendo más. Esto hay que tomarlo sin ningún apuro. Despacito, quiero respirar tu cuello despacito. Deja que te diga cosas al oído, para que te acuerdes si no estás conmigo. Despacito, quiero desnudarte a besos despacito. Firma las paredes de tu laberinto y hacer de tu cuerpo todo un manuscrito.
cielo se acelera el pulso. Oh, sé que te estoy gustando más de lo normal y que tus sentidos van pidiendo más. Vamos a tomarlo sin ningún apuro. Despacito, quiero respirar tu cuello despacito. Deja que te diga cosas al oído para que te acuerdes si no estás conmigo. A besos despacito, firma las paredes de tu laberinto y hacer de tu cuerpo todo un manuscrito. Playa en Puerto Rico, hasta que las olas griten ay bendito, para que mi sello se quede contigo. Pasito a pasito, sí.